Men, do we have a man talk for you today? Actually, it's so cool that it's probably going to take a few talks to get through this, but this is my friend Thomas, and he has an amazing story that we're going to talk about on this episode of Man Talk. Join us. Thomas, glad to have you here. This is my friend Thomas Musa. He's on Man Talk today, and he has an amazing story. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Chad.
Yeah. So, okay, so the other day, let me just set this up. The other day, you were just kind of, you know, nonchalantly telling me that, hey, I'm going to Africa. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Why you go to Africa? And you said, well, I'm going to go meet my dad for the first time. And I was like, wait, what? and that started a conversation that after our conversation, I'm like, dude, you have got to come into the studio. We have to talk about this. So, well, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're doing right now, maybe, you know, where you're from, and give us the load on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like you said, my name is Thomas Musa. My parents are from a country called Rwanda.
Okay.
But I was born in Zambia. Mm-hmm. And of course, they migrated here. My mom, she migrated here with my siblings and my stepdad. And so I've lived in America almost half of my life.
Okay.
Right now, I am living in Troy, and I'm working with the youth there at the Troy SDA Church.
Okay. So how old are you?
I'm 22.
Okay, so you've been in the U.S. roughly 11 years-ish?
About, yeah.
And you were in Zambia for, yes, 11 years. Okay, yeah. How many languages do you speak? Just curious.
Right now, three. When I came, it used to be seven.
But, no way.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so tell me what you got. Tell me what you lost.
I lost a lot of the dialects because we lived in a refugee camp.
Okay.
In Zambia. So you, in order to communicate with some of these people who are coming from different countries in Africa, you had to learn their language. Mm-hmm. Right now, I speak Nyanja, I speak Kinyarwanda, and of course English. Yeah, those three.
Those are the three that you still got,
and
the other four were variations.
Yeah.
Okay, so you moved to the U.S. when you were roughly 11, and you came to Michigan, or did you come to a different state? Or
we lived in Boston, Massachusetts for a year.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and then we moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, so at 12-ish, you moved to GR, and then you've been... Yeah. Between there and now in Troy. And
yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you were in a refugee camp. Tell me, what was that like?
I was still young. I was still young, but I can tell you the reason why we were in the refugee camp.
Sure.
My parents, they were in the genocide in 94 in Rwanda. And so they escaped from Rwanda. They found themselves in Zambia. And of course, you know, my parents ended up splitting. But my mom decided that she would move us to the refugee camp.
Okay, so you were at a certain age, and then your biological mom and dad said, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
They moved to Zambia, and then while in the refugee camp, they split.
So they actually split in Lusaka, Lusaka, Zambia. That's the capital city of Zambia, and that's when my mom decided to move us to the refugee camp.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then how did you get here?
How did I get to America?
Yeah.
Well, because my mom went through the genocide, obviously we're considered refugees in Zambia, and so we did our paperwork and we were accepted.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
We were brought here.
Yeah. Now, did she meet your stepdad there or in here? Or?
She met him there. She met him there in the refugee camp. Yeah.
No way.
In the refugee camp, she met my stepdad there. And
that's a crazy date.
Yeah. The crazy thing is she tells me she had vowed she'd never get married again.
Wow.
But somehow he was able to manage.
Right, and they're doing well?
Yeah, they're doing well. They're
fantastic.
Doing well. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. That's another story in and of itself. Okay, so got a new dad.
Uh-huh.
And you got a new country.
New country.
And you're growing up and somehow between that and now where you're functioning as a pastor, right? A Bible worker, youth pastor in Troy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a story. How did that all take place? Like, was that a
Yeah, it's it's a long story. I can say that God called me into ministry when I was still a child.
Okay.
My mother would take us to church, and she would take us to in Africa. They do a lot of crusades, like mm-hmm. evangelistic series. She would take us to a lot of those, and somehow, as a child, I was really moved. I was really moved when I'd see pastors preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would go back home, and I would gather my friends, and we would pretend to play church.
And you'd preach at them.
Yeah, I would preach. Of course, I was speaking gibberish. I didn't know what I was, you know, what I was saying. But so I would preach. I would preach to my friends, and I knew I was called to be a pastor. The neighbors knew I was called to be a pastor. My mom knew I was called to be a pastor.
Wow.
And so, yeah. Of course, I lost that once I came here, became a teenager. And yeah.
Okay, so you went through a time where
through a time
you
I was like,
forgot
yeah,
the oath.
Forget it. Yeah, I forgot the oath. It's like, forget it.
So then you went to, now, let me ask you this. How much did you know, or how old were you when your biological father was no longer in the picture? I mean, do you even remember him?
Ooh, I really don't. I have no recollection of him.
Okay.
Don't remember ever seeing my father as a child.
Okay, so, and you went through some pretty, I would imagine, some pretty tough stuff if you were coming out of Rwanda. And I mean, stories that,
Yeah.
So you don't remember him. Mm-hmm. You're going through your high school. How was your college? Did you have good college experience?
Yeah, I mean, I had a college experience. There were some good and bad experiences, but overall, if I were to do it again, I'd probably do it again. Yeah.
But somehow during that time, you make the decision. Yeah, I still want to continue in ministry.
It was actually in high school.
Really? Okay.
Crazy story. I was on a mission trip. There was a really nice man by the name of Jeff Young.
Mm-hmm.
Took us on a mission trip to Lowerbrook in 2018. And we were there at Lowerbrook, and I remember this guy, you know, I guess he was just trying to explain the Gospels through the stars. I don't even remember exactly what he said.
Really?
But I remember God speaking to me. It was not really in an audible voice, but it was through it, like a strong impression.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like, Thomas, you know, you're called to the ministry. Why are you running away?
Wow.
Why are you running away? And it was there at that mission trip that I made the commitment. I need to go back to what God was calling me to do. Because, you know, my friends and I, we were planning on, you know, going to a school, an Adventist school in Nebraska, and studying to physical therapist and just making money.
Right, yeah. Nothing wrong with physical therapy, and, you know, money can be whatever. But but God's like, no, that's not my plan. Yeah. Wow, very cool. And so then you went and you've got some training. Obviously, you're working in Troy. Kind of want to transition now to, like, when did you first talk? Did you just meet him for the first time in Africa? Or
are you talking about my father?
Your father, yeah. Like, what? How'd that happen? Like, when was, because you never had met him. What age were you like, hey, Mom, tell me about Dad? Or
Yeah. You know, I was... The crazy thing is I had a stepdad in my house.
Okay.
So I never really asked much about my father.
Okay.
My mother didn't really say much. She would say some things here and there, but she wouldn't say much. Most of what I knew about my father, I'd say I probably learned from my siblings. You know, they were older enough. They knew who my dad was. They had heard some stories here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like my mother was more open with my siblings than me. But
really, your siblings know more.
they know more.
Are they older?
They're older.
Okay,
they're
so older. Are you the youngest?
No, not really. I'm the third. I still have three other ones below me.
So how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Do you want me to count with my dad's other kids?
Give me everything. Yeah, I don't care. So, what do you got?
In total, I was able to count. We're like 12.
So you have 12 total, so 11 brothers and sisters.
Yeah, there's some I haven't even met.
Yeah, wow.
There's some I haven't met.
How many are with you, like grew up in the same home in Grand Rapids?
We're six here.
Okay, so there's six here and there's five others from your... Now, are all of those, your brothers and sisters, are they all your dads or like your stepdads or like
yeah. The ones below me, the three below me, they're my stepdads.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course my biological dad, he had other children with other women.
How many kids does he have? Do you know?
Does he have? Well, I mean, are you including like my siblings here as well?
How many kids call him dad?
Ooh. Okay. So he has about, let's say, 5 over there. 8 here. So 8 in total.
Okay.
3 all here right. and okay. then 5 there. 8 in total.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So does he are they living with him now or
no? Okay. Not at all. No,
okay, so he's by himself.
He's by himself.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you getting back to the when's the first time you talked to your dad? How old were you?
And how old was I? I believe it was probably in the year of Was I 15? I either 2015 or I was 15, one of the two. My dad called.
So he contacted you?
Yeah, he contacted me. I think it was through my mother's device. Somehow he got my mother's number and he called and he wanted to talk to me.
Mm.
He had hit rock bottom.
Mm.
He had hit rock bottom. This is the first time I'm hearing from my father. Never heard from him before.
So what was that like?
You know, when he started talking to me, the first thing that he asked me was for money, you know, because he hit rock bottom.
Oh,
it hit rock bottom. Hey, can you send me money? I need money. And I was very angry. I was extremely angry, and I cussed him out.
Yeah,
like I cussed him out on the phone. I was like, I don't want to hear from you. You know, like how can you call me and mm-hmm. then the first thing that you want to ask is money?
Right.
Like, you don't even how are you? Like nothing.
Right.
So, yeah, I was extremely angry and bitter towards him.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. So that was just the end of the conversation was, hey, can I get some money? And you're like,
He hung up on me when I cussed him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hung up on me.
And so that you're 15, you tell dad, you know, some things we don't need to repeat. But I mean, like, yeah, you're frustrated and he hangs up and then... Do you have another conversation?
Yeah, he crazy enough. 2019, I'm in a canvassing program.
Okay, so how old are you at 2019?
In 2019, I was 18.
Okay, so 3 years later.
3 years later, I'm 18 years old. I'm in a canvassing program in Warren.
So canvassing, what is that?
Canvassing is basically literature evangelism.
Okay, so you're passing out booklets for Jesus.
Basically, yeah. And I at that time, God is still starting to speak to me.
Right.
And is, you know, he's reaching me where I am. Of course, I'm having my challenges and so forth and so on. But
right.
Yeah. So he reaches out to me. That was when I had social media. He reached out to me through Facebook Messenger.
Oh, so he's stalking you, finds you on Facebook, and then drops you a DM.
Basically. So I find out he has Facebook. find out he has Facebook. And then he doesn't even send me a message. He decides to call me.
Oh, so he called, whoa.
He calls me.
So you see that, and what are you thinking?
This is 3 a.m. in the morning.
Of course it
I'm
is.
I'm in bed. The next, literally in a couple hours, I'm going to be knocking on doors. I'm tired.
Right. Right.
So I see this call. I decide to pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I decide to pick up. I leave the room, of course. I'm in the church foyer, sitting there. And, you know, this time it's a different experience. I don't cuss them out, nothing, you know.
Right.
The thing that I'm a very curious person.
Sure.
I'm extremely curious. If I want to know something, I'm gonna do everything to find out.
Right.
So, what I did was I was there. I said, I want to know what happened between you and my mother.
Oh.
I said, tell me the story.
Okay, but can I just pause?
Yeah.
He's like, hey, son, it's dad.
Is that?
And then
he's not asking for money.
He's not asking money.
He just wants to talk to me.
He just wants to, yeah.
Perhaps that's his hidden motive. It hasn't yet been revealed in the conversation.
Wow.
I wouldn't know. Yeah.
So before that gets there, you're like, hey,
yeah.
What happened?
What happened?
All right.
I want to know what happened.
So what's he say?
So, you know, he begins to explain the story of what took place when they came from Rwanda. I wasn't born in Rwanda, no. I was born in Zambia.
Right,
so
right.
I wasn't alive when all of whatever happened between them took place. So anyways, he begins to explain the story of what happened when they were running from Rwanda. They found themselves in a refugee camp in a Democratic Republic of Congo.
Oh, okay.
Right. So they're there in DRC. And a lot of things take place. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things take place. He marries another wife. So he has two wives, right? He has two wives.
Whoa, so he's got another wife and your mom?
And my mom, right?
Does she know?
Of course she knows. Of course she knows.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, like,
Of course she knows. You know, but
so that's
wow. Now these are refugees. They're running away from this country.
Right.
They're dealing with hunger, and you know, later on he would explain why he did it. It's because he said the lady that he married, she had money. He did it because he was like, I gotta take care, you know, the family. So he married her for her money, basically. I mean, he told me that completely.
So that he could feed you.
Feed my sister. I wasn't alive. My sister, my mother, and of course the second wife.
So he tells your mom, look, I gotta marry this woman so we can eat.
Basically.
Wow.
Yeah. So we can eat.
I'm being real here. I'm not trying to judge anything. Like I'm trying to, because I have such a massive blind spot. Because I've never experienced any of that stuff. But to get to that mind where, if that's legit, like he's thinking, I need to feed my family. I don't know what to do. Here's what I'm going to do. If that's legit, like, wow, that he must have been in.
Yeah. So, he marries her. He marries her and he has children with her.
Wow.
They escaped together in Zambia. So now he's living with two wives and... both of them have children and so forth.
Are you guys in the same, or not you, but they lived, everyone's in the same house?
Same house. Eventually, as they're moving to Zambia, they're living in the same house.
Wow.
Yeah. Living in the same house.
And then you're born.
Yeah. Born in 2001.
So you're on the phone and your dad's like, I married this woman so that I could take care of my family.
Basically.
And raise you.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you respond to that?
I mean, I thought that was just an excuse.
Okay, so you're like, I ain't buying that. That's a lie.
That's an excuse. I think there's a problem. It's not. I wouldn't necessarily say that he did it because he needed to provide for the family. Because there were other people in the refugee camp who had one wife.
Right.
They were not marrying other women.
Right.
You know, I think there was just a problem that he was dealing
with. So that's where he landed.
You know, like a sexual problem.
So you, okay, so you respond and to that, then where's the conversation? Is that the end of the conversation? Are you done talking or what else do you just talk about?
So yeah, I mean, he explains the story from his perspective because he thinks, at least he has this idea that my mom somehow has indoctrinated me and she has painted a terrible picture of him.
Which is, okay, so that's a question I had for you is, what does your mom say about him growing up? Like, does she set you up?
So here's the thing. My mom, like I said, my mom never really said much, only like a couple of things here and there. But
so she never even talked about him?
She did a couple of times here and there, okay. But like not always, you know?
Right.
But one thing I do know is she would always say, you know, he's still your father. Reach out to him. Talk to him. Even when I cussed him out on the phone, she was like, you know, don't do that. He's still your dad. You know, he's your father. You need to know.
Your mom's a good woman.
Yeah. My mother's is a good woman.
Wow. That's cool.
So, So the thing is, now my mom has gone through a genocide.
Right.
So my mom is going through a genocide. She has a child on her back, my oldest sister. And your husband is marrying another woman. I mean, genocide is a very terrifying thing.
Oh.
I mean, this was brutal. It was literally like two tribes.
Yeah.
For those who are familiar with the Rwandan genocide, you have two tribes, the Hutus and the Tutsis. And I mean, it didn't matter if you were, let's say, you know, you're my brother.
Yeah.
Or let's say you're my uncle or something.
Right.
And if you're a different tribe, you may be a Hutu, I'm a Tutsi.
Mm-hmm.
I can still kill you. Right. So now you're going through this experience, this genocide where relatives are even killing each other.
Wow.
So my mom has experienced this trauma.
Right.
And my father, he was also an alcoholic. Yeah, he was an alcoholic, and he was angry when he drank alcohol. So he would take it out on my mother, on the children, on these other wives that he married later on. So my mother was, you know, I mean, she was getting beat, you know, almost every day. When your husband comes back drunk, he's going to take it out on you. He basically did that. And So my mom had a lot of trauma, and that's why she never really said much growing mm-hmm. up, you know, because she had gone through this trauma. She just didn't want to talk about it. She was closed inside. But she would share things here and there. It was until I was 18 years old, I remember, I'm about to go to college, I'm about to leave home. I'm scared and I'm excited. You know, I'm leaving home. Mm-hmm. My mom decides to open up. This is the first time where my mom tells me the story from her perspective, the entire story. I'm 18 years old.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there because we're going to end this episode, and I want to continue on, but we're going to need multiple episodes here. So this is kind of we'll end man talk in a crazy way, you know. So no, really a challenge. Here's the challenge. Actually, watch the next episode when it comes out. Remember, man talk, three things: love God, love everybody, and duct tape fixes everything. But yeah, check us out on our next part here as we continue on in this amazing story, Thomas's story. And his testimony. Thanks for joining.